Okay, we're going to start lesson 105. We're still on 10 reasons why we study the Word, and this is part 3. And tonight we're going to cover reason number 9. It's our faith producer. We come before you tonight in this Bible study in the name of Jesus, Father. And Father, we're here to study your Word, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So, Father, tonight I ask you in Jesus' name for the assistance of the Holy Spirit, Lord, as we go through this lesson. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come into this room, Lord, and teach us what your Word has to say about this subject we're on tonight. So, Father, we know full well, Father, that Jesus said to us in the Bible, in John 16:3, that if we ask you, Father, for anything at all in Jesus' name, Jesus said you'd give it to us. So tonight I'm asking, Lord, that you'd give us special wisdom, Father, to rightly divide your Word, and to see the truths that are in there, Lord, so that we bring out these truths. I believe you've been showing me this week in a way that the people will get the most from it. Father, we know that we're going to receive this tonight because we're asking for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Okay, the 9th reason we study the Word is because the Word is our faith producer. And boy, is faith necessary if you want to receive from the Lord. The further I go along, the more I understand, I think, that faith is something that's I don't say underrated exactly, but I don't think we understand how very necessary it is in God's eyes. It's a certain ingredient that God needs to be able to go forward and do the things that he wants in our lives. I don't say I fully understand why sometimes, but I just know it's true. And so if we need this faith, we need to figure out how to get it. And everybody in this room knows how faith comes. But I'm going to ask you to turn to that scripture anyway, Romans 10:17. And I want to read it one more time because I really believe that just reading God's Word, there's power in just reading his Word. And we're going to read verse 17. Why don't we just go around this way tonight? Seth, would you read, please, Romans 10:17 clearly and slowly so that everybody gets what it says.
So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
So, thank you. So Seth just said the Bible, the Word of God, which is eternal truth, just told us that faith, the ingredient that we need to receive from God, comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. All right, now, if you think about what we've already learned, that God's Word is eternal truth, then you can understand a little bit about how when the Word comes, it should produce faith. If we understand that God's Word is eternal, and it's always true, and we give it the dignity it deserves when we hear it, and we hear God say one of his promises, it ought to bring into our hearts a measure of faith if you just think about it from a reason standpoint. But it even goes beyond that. There's a spiritual side to this whole thing, and we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. So faith, first of all, comes by hearing God's Word. Now, I'm going to go out a little bit more on that in a second, but I want you to understand that faith, everything you've received from God so far in your life, probably came by faith. When you got saved, it took faith for you to get saved. Without that faith, you wouldn't be saved today. There's no way you would be. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but as a gift of God, so that no man or no woman can boast, I did this on my own, or I was good enough, and I didn't sin." You know, everybody needs salvation, and it comes by faith in what Jesus did. So by grace are you saved through faith. That's how you got saved. You had to exhibit faith to get saved. Everything that we've gotten comes by faith. Romans 10:9 says, let's just go back there first. I'll just go there real quick and read it to you. Romans 10:9 says, "If you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved." What's necessary to be saved? What two things? What did I just say? Confess with your mouth what? Jesus is now what? Your Lord. And believe where? In your heart that God what? Raised Jesus from the dead. So you've got to believe something to get saved. This Ephesians 2:8 said it's by faith that we got saved, and Romans 10:9 says what the faith was in, that Jesus was risen from the dead. So one says you have to have faith, the other says what the faith must be in. All right? So we must believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. And when I got saved, I went through a lengthy period with the Lord about this, where he kept saying to my heart, do you really believe Jesus was raised from the dead? And I said, yeah, I believe that. I've always heard that. I heard that when I was a little kid. And he says, but do you really believe? I said, yes, Lord, I do believe. I've heard that ever since I was a little kid. He says, but do you really believe that Jesus is alive right now? So I thought, I had to stop and think, well, I've heard that. I've heard people say that. I was taught that, even in the church I was in, which didn't tell you anything about how to get saved, but they did always tell you that Jesus rose from the dead. So I thought about it for a while, and I thought, do I really believe that, or am I just saying something that I've heard all my life? I mean, I don't have any evidence that Jesus is alive. I've never seen him walking down the street. I've never seen him talk to me. I mean, how do I know? I mean, I really started thinking about this, and I got all done thinking about it, and I thought, no, I don't know how I believe it, but I do believe it. I believe Jesus is alive. And then that's when I could just feel God's love, and I knew that at that time I was saved. I was 34 years old when all this happened. It was just like God was leading me by the hand, showing me what was necessary to be saved. And I was all by myself and out in our yard one Sunday afternoon, and Marianne was on the ride with the kids. So God took me through those steps to show me how important it was to believe something to get saved. Okay, so when we got saved, we had to believe, faith was necessary, and we had to believe a specific thing. Turns out, faith is necessary for everything else you desire too. Now I'll just quote some scriptures really quickly as you've heard. Jesus said to the people that had seen him curse the fig tree and seen it wither up, and he said, have the God kind of faith. He encouraged them to have it. Or have the faith of God. And then went and told them what it was. He says, whosoever shall speak into this mountain and say, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's a fantastic statement. Jesus is saying, if you can believe something in your heart and say it with your mouth that it's in line with my will and my word, which is his word, it will come to pass. So the whole kicker in there is believing in your heart. Notice that when you got saved, you believed in your heart. Remember that says, believe in your heart? Romans 10:9 and 10 said, we shall believe in our heart that God raised Jesus. And that he tells you where you got to believe, in your heart. You know, you can get answers from God. I've heard this said before, and I understand it now. You can receive answers to prayer when there's doubt in your head if you've got faith in your heart. And that's something to understand. Don't always analyze your faith by understanding how this is going to happen with your head. Because if you go in your head and try to figure it out, you're going to say, well, I don't have any faith. Because how's he going to do? No, wait a minute. You just focus on the promise. And you let it come in your heart. And if your heart believes, that's all God's looking at. Because faith is a spiritual thing. And your heart is your spirit. And that's where it's important to believe. That's why Jesus was working, I mean, God was working so hard on me in that yard that afternoon. He said, do you really believe it? What he's really asking was, do you believe it in your heart? And I was answering from my head, yeah, I believe it. I was taught this. I was taught this by the nuns. I was taught this in catechism. Well, our church believed that. I was answering all the questions from my mind that I'd heard asked of me over the years and told to me in my mind. And God kept saying, no, do you really believe? He meant in my heart. See, now, the one thing I want to get across tonight in this lesson is faith in our heart is what's required. And you can receive answers to prayer if you've got faith in your heart and even have some doubt in your head. But you need that faith in your heart. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about how you get it there tonight. Okay, so Mark 11:23 says that if we don't doubt in our heart but speak the word, even mountains will move. All right, then he goes on to say in verse 24, therefore, Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, what? You got to believe. You receive it, and you shall have it. See, we read that so quickly sometimes, I think it escapes us that we need to believe it. So many people say, well, you know, I'm hoping, we're hoping and praying, you know, our thoughts are with you, our prayers are with you. You hear people say this all the time, you know. That means nothing unless there's faith involved. And you get faith from God's word. When we understand that all scripture is inspired by God and that God cannot ever lie, it really helps to, when that word comes in, to give it the focus it deserves. That's why he calls these things in the Bible eternally. I mean, he calls them exceeding great and precious promises. Because these promises are precious. You know, if you can find a promise in God's word, I mean, there's some wonderful things in there that will save you hundreds of thousands of dollars. We met a person recently at a memorial service, a pastor, who had undergone cancer. And he was really dying at his home, and he just wouldn't go to the doctor. And finally, another minister friend of his said, you're going, came with his car, put him in the car, and took him to the doctor, and they started treatment. And he's alive today, and he's getting better. But he told us that it cost over $100,000 what they went through. Now, I'm not saying that, no, don't get me wrong here. I'm not talking about faith on his part or anything like that. I'm just saying that if you can find a promise in God's word that covers your situation, it can mean money to you, okay? Whether it's a healing that you don't have to go to the doctor for, whether it's financial situation that you can receive from God because you have faith, that you've tithed, you see God's promises on tithing, you know you've given, you know you're walking in love, and when you do blow it, you know you immediately confess that sin, so there's no open window of opportunity for the devil to get in there, then when you pray, you can have faith. And that means money. That means not going through not just money, but it means not going through maybe a series of treatments that are tough, there will be times when we're tested, we're all going to be. But I'm just saying that you'll live a victorious, overcoming life. Look at it from a distance overall. Okay, you're going to have trials and stuff. I'm not saying that. We won't. But I'm just saying overall, you will be a victorious, overcoming Christian if you approach things God's way and use his exceeding great and precious promises in here and get those in your heart. So that when emergency comes, you can believe from your heart and receive answers. Because, you know, the thing I'm learning is God never misses it. All the promises of God are yes. There's never once he's going to say no to any one of us in this room or anywhere else that rightly divide his word and receive that faith in our heart. Okay, the question is, how do we get it there? All right, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Therefore, since faith is necessary to be saved, faith is necessary for everything else we desire, a couple other scriptures are, all things are possible, Mark 9:23 says, to those who believe. Nothing shall be impossible to them. All things are possible to who? I want to hear you say it. Those who believe. See, there's the belief. There's the faith. All these things aren't to those that are good, to those that try hard, to those that live good, solid Christian lives. Notice, that's all nice and that's good, but that's not what he said the condition is. He's saying those that believe, those that have faith. And all I'm trying to get across right now is that if we're going to receive the things we need from God to live overcoming and victorious Christian lives, we need to figure out how we get this faith that's so necessary for all of this. Well, we know faith comes by hearing, and that's part of it. But I want to open your eyes to a few other things here. I want to open your eyes to why God gave us this Bible. If faith is necessary to receive from God, therefore we need to have a method to obtain faith. God foresaw this need and provided his written word as the faith provider that we need. Okay? You ever wonder why God gave us a Bible? Well, there's many reasons. But one of the main reasons is to produce the faith for the things that he knows every one of his kids on this earth are going to need. And since faith is necessary, God provided the way to get the faith, and that's his word. You know, in the Bible, Jesus gave us what? What's the one commandment that Jesus left us with? You know this, Matt. What is it? What's the one commandment that Jesus left us? What's the great commandment?
To love one another.
To love one another. All right? Oh, boy. That's a biggie, isn't it, sometimes? But you know what God did in the new birth? He gave us the love we need. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which comes to live in our hearts. See, that love comes into our heart as a person. so you can love. You can't let love out unless you let love in the first place. You can't let something out you don't have inside. And so God provided the Holy Spirit in the new birth to come and live in our spirits to provide the love that we need to fulfill the great commandment, which is to love one another as He's loved us. That's agape love. Did you know that agape love is never in the Bible until Jesus came? He was agape love. God is love. God is agape love. Now, there's other kinds of love in the Bible. There's phileo love, which is kind of a love for friends, or a mother's love for her child. That's not even agape love. That's where the brotherly love city, Philadelphia. Yeah, that's kind of like love for your friends. There's eros, erotic love. That's another word for love, but it's a different type of love. It's more of a passionate love. But agape love never came on the scene until Jesus came here. Okay? But that's the kind of love He puts in your heart at the new birth. So now, he says, I'm going to give you a commandment, and it's to love one another. Now, first of all, I know you can't do it, so I'm going to give you the love to do it with. Well, He did the same thing with faith. He says faith is necessary to receive the things you need in your life when you pray or whatever you need to ask in faith. Don't worry, I'm going to provide a means to get the faith that you need. See, God provides, He says this is necessary, and then He says, now I'm going to give it to you, and I'll tell you how to get it. He put the love in our spirits, and the way we get the faith in our spirits is through this right here. That's how you get the faith. There's no other way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Bible is God's faith producer for us. All right. Now, if that's the case, we need to figure out what are the steps to getting this faith where it's needed. Where is it needed? In our hearts or our spirits. Spirit and heart are used interchangeably in the New Testament. Romans 2:29 and 1 Peter 3:4 will tell you that if you ever want to look that up. Spirit and heart are the same thing. It just means in the core. Heart means in the Bible here, in the core of your being. And that's where your spirit is. So that's what they're talking about here. Okay. What are the steps to producing faith in the heart where we must believe? This is where we got to get it. You know, sometimes I think people, when they hear the Bible taught or at places, they just kind of think it's a good idea, this is a kind of a nice way to live or something. But I'm telling you tonight, this is an absolutely necessary way to receive from God. God operates according to faith. Everything in this universe right now is being held together, Hebrews tells us, by the spoken word of God in eternity eons ago, when He said, light be, when He said, things come into being. It said now, Hebrews tells us, that's all being held together through that word that was spoken that long ago. That's what's holding this all together. Because God never spoke anything else since then. And He spoke it in faith. So therefore, it had to be. You know, and everything else comes that way. See, in this world, we have five senses that help us get around. We have to see, we have to hear, we touch, we taste. What's the other one? Sight, hearing, tasting, touch, and smell. Thank you. All right, all those things are only a special case that we need to operate on this planet for a limited amount of time. What God originally created man for, really, in the beginning, was to be a spiritual person, which we still are. It's just that some of our spirits are so underdeveloped that we don't use the capabilities that God's got in there because we're so reliant on what did we see or what did we hear or what did we touch to believe. And that's necessary to operate in a material world that we're in right now. But God has meant us for far more than that. I mean, he designed this man that we are built in God's image with Adam before he fell to be far more than that. He designed us to operate by faith like He operates. You know, He calls things that be not before we see them, before they are. Why? Because He knows that's the way they come into being. He expects us to behave that way. You don't hear this too much. How important it is to operate according to His principles in here. Then we get answers all the time. I've seen that more and more in my life. When I pray for something or ask for something, if I ask in accordance with what's already in here, I've got the faith because I've already recognized this as the eternal truth of God who cannot lie, which will always be true. It's inspired by Him. And that gives me faith, just on a reasonable standpoint. Not to mention the faith that comes into my heart just through the power and the word. But Romans 1:16 says, the gospel, which is God's written word, is the power of God unto salvation. There is power in the word. Now, here's how the this is what God showed me this week. Here's how the power comes about. He kind of led me through a sequence here that shows how this happens. First of all, faith comes by hearing, and this is the way it works. First of all, the word is a seed, the Bible tells us in one spot. In Luke 8:11, Jesus gave a parable about this seed going in the ground, and nobody knew what he meant until finally somebody asked him, what is this all about? He says, the seed I've been talking about is the word of God. Without that key phrase, no one could understand what that parable was out, because he just talked about a seed going in some kind of ground over here, on hard ground, on stony ground, on weedy ground, and on good ground. And he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And everybody went away. But few stuck around. And the ones that stuck around said, Lord, we didn't understand what you meant by that. And Jesus understood immediately why they didn't understand, because he'd never given them the key phrase. The seed I was talking about is the word of God. Now, all kinds of possibilities open up. Oh, when God's word goes forth, it can go on hard ground, stony ground, ground with weeds, or good ground. They understood that. They were farmers and things like that. You know, in other words, what he's saying is, that seed is the same. My word that I have on my lap, what Matt has on his lap, what Danielle has on her lap, what Chuck has on her lap, what Eunice has on her lap, what Marianne has, what Seth has, what everybody here has on their laps, is the same seed. We may have slightly different translations, but it's the same seed. God can use that seed. He understands. Man will translate it a little bit differently in different versions, but it's the same seed. What is the variable? The variable is the soil. And he gave us an example of four different kinds of soil. He also showed in this example some of the soil that wasn't so good that just walked away. Said, well, I don't understand what he was talking about, but oh well. But some hung around and wondered what in the world he's talking about. And then he revealed. He said, it is given unto you to know that the seed is the word of God. All right. Now, take this a little bit further. If the seed is God's word, what does a seed have when, and it's just all bundled up in here? It has some potential power in there, doesn't it? If this seed is treated correctly, it has power in there to do things. But unless it's planted, it doesn't do anything. So when a seed bounces off of the pavement, when it's sown, it doesn't do anything. The birds come immediately, which is Satan, and immediately steals that word because it wasn't buried in the good soil of the heart. So God's saying that when my word is preached, taught, or read, it's like seed that goes forth. And it's the same for everybody. You can have a congregation of people in church, and if the preacher's preaching the word, that seed can be bouncing off some hearts, it can be going in temporarily into some, and then they go home immediately and something happens, they say, well, I guess that wasn't true. Or it can go in, some people say, boy, I really received that. That's good, and it grows a little while in their life, but there's weeds in the life too. And it says, the lust of other things entering in choke the word. The pleasures of life, the lust of other things, the busyness of life, the priority that the word is giving compared to our jobs, compared to our families and everything else. God understands that we have those things, but he wants a balance. He wants, don't eliminate my word, or it will grow up and choke and it'll bear no fruit. See, three of the four soils bore no fruit. That's the important thing to know here, that even though that seed went forth in four different cases, in three of the four cases, it didn't bear any fruit at all. Only one case did it bear fruit, and that was when it went in the good soil of a soft heart, a receptive heart. Okay, so the step to producing faith in the heart is, first of all, we must, to get the faith in the heart that we must have it, okay, first of all, when that God's word is preached, taught, or read, the seed goes forth. And I have a little diagram down here. It shows the man throwing the seed out. That would be like the preacher, okay? Now, the word tells us in Romans 1:16 that the word of the gospel is the power of God. That seed is God's power unto whatever. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, what he did for us on the cross, is the power of God unto salvation. The healing word is the power of God, is the seed that's the power of God unto healing. The financial word that says given, it shall be given unto you, is the power of God and that seed for receiving financial gain or from God. And it goes all the way down the line. Whatever you might need from God. You hear the seed on that thing, let the seed into your heart, that seed will go, grow, and produce what? A fruit called faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how you get the faith in your heart. Now, does every time the word is heard, does it produce faith? That's the way it comes. No. Faith comes that way, but only when it's received in the heart. That's why everybody doesn't rush down to the altar to get saved when a preacher preaches on salvation. Do you ever notice that? Everybody doesn't go down there, do they? Why? Because everybody's soil wasn't the same. Now, there's some that maybe have already saved, but I'm saying of those that need the Lord, need healing, need finances, need answers to prayer, there's going to be a certain percentage that will receive that in their heart. And you know, and sometimes, like in a church, when they say, come up if you want to, you can see actually people moving out of their seats that are, ostensibly at least, receiving this in their hearts. Okay, so it's necessary to kind of have a state of mind that's called being teachable. To hear something new, the ability to hear something new, and to form an opinion based upon what the Word says about it, maybe in several places so that you get the Word rightly divided, rather than what my denomination may say about it, or rather than what my teaching as a child may have said about it. Now, if they all line up, fine. But don't throw it out. If it lines up here and doesn't line up with something else, be careful before you throw it out. Because that may be just the word that you need to let into your heart, because this is the only word that's eternal truth. It's eternal and it's truth. The things that we heard when we were little kids from our parents and all that, they may have meant well. First of all, it may not have been true. Second of all, it's probably not eternal. Okay? This is the only source of eternal truth. So people that throw things out when they hear them, when they're preached rightly, and the preacher has rightly divided God's word, and they refuse it based on tradition, based on denomination, based upon all of that, are not exhibiting the kind of heart that's necessary to receive the word in and develop faith. And those people are always having problems. And they don't know why. I go to church every Sunday. I go to Wednesdays. I do this. But God never seems to hear my prayer. Nothing ever goes to. We just have terrible things happen all the time. My kids are always sick. And all these things are happening. And I'm not saying this won't happen in our lives occasionally, but at least we know what to do, what action to take, what word to stand on, and how to get rid of it. So it's necessary, first of all, to hear the word on something. Do you remember the man that was carried to Jesus that couldn't get in, that they tore up the roof and lowered him down through the roof? If you go back and read that occasion, and I'll cover it next week in more detail because it goes into the next reason why we should study the word, but I'll just tell you a little ahead of time. If you go and read that account, it says four men were bearing a man on a cot that had something called palsy, which is a paralysis. He couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. And there was such a multitude around this house where Jesus was. This is where he stayed when he was in Capernaum, in this one house. He sort of had it leased out or something. He'd show up there, and when people saw he was in, they'd come in by droves. And so they were packed around that house so much, it said multitudes. Great multitude was around that house. Hundreds of people. It said there were priests, it says, and doctors of the law from every village and town throughout all Judea and all of Galilee. So I thought, I wonder how many people that would be. I'm just trying, you know, this is part of meditating the word. So I have a map upstairs in my computer that shows all the cities that were in there in the time of Christ. So I went and counted them real quickly. There's like 200 little towns and cities that are in Galilee or around Jerusalem. Did you know that there was a doctor of the law and a scribe from every one of, it says, from every one of those cities? So there was a couple hundred just religious people there. Not to mention all the other people that were gathered outside. You know, they have the inside seat. You can bet on that. But not to mention all the other people that were there. And you know, as you meditate on this and meditate on this and meditate on this, God will sometimes give you a picture of what it must have been like. Now, I'm not saying it's the last word and what happened, but you sort of just enter into the whole thing. And it's kind of neat. That's one thing kind of neat about meditating on God's word. And I begin to see how many people would it take to say, like in one verse it says, no, they could not even get near the door. Not near the door. That means they were stacked up so much outside, inside, all over the place, that the only place they could think of was to go up on the roof and tear the roof apart and let the guy down. Okay, now here's what I'm getting to. Before they got there, it said Jesus preached the word. Now listen to this. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The guy on the cot wasn't even there yet. He hadn't arrived in this scenario at the time this was said. That means all those Pharisees, all those doctors of the law, all those scribes, all those people surrounding that house, and if you've got hundreds of people, do you believe there's a few sick people there? Especially when they crowd around because they are sick. You know, they're hoping something happens to them. It said that they had heard, and before this says, they had heard what Jesus had just done in some other area where everybody was healed, and they were there. Oh, man, they were crowded around. So it says that he was preaching the word, sowing the word, seed, and that power was there to heal them. Seed has power. The power's there now. He's preached the word. The power's there. It's just ready. It's ready. Healing power is ready to heal them. This guy's not there yet. Did you know that none of them got healed that day? If they did, we have no account of it. The only person that got healed was this guy that's still on his way when Jesus said, when he was preaching. They didn't hear this preaching. They had heard the other preaching before they got there, and they were wanting to get there. And it says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he could see their faith because they were acting on their faith. When you see people acting, you know they got it already because action is the last thing in the chain. If you've got faith that's going to cause something take place in your life, you're going to act on that faith. But see, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but none of them got healed. See, the seed was there. It's just that nobody had received the seed into their heart so it could do anything. And Jesus is there, and he's preaching the word. And that seed has gone forth. It always does. It's going forth right now. But it's important that that power that's present in the seed, just like a farmer, that power that's present in the seed, it's trembling, it's potential power, it's there, it's ready. But what does a farmer have to do? He has to go out in his field and sow it. If he just leaves it in his barn and no sacks, it's not going to do anything. He's got to go out and put it in the ground. Now, when we allow that seed in our heart, it starts to grow and produce something, a fruit. Remember when the sower sows the word, it says no fruit was produced except in the fourth soil. He said it bore fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. When that seed goes forth in your heart, it's going to produce something. When you put a seed in the ground, something's going to happen. It's the most natural thing in the world. I was laboring one day. I was on my mower out here, and I was running back and forth. And I was praying about something. I thought, I wonder if I have the faith. I wonder if I'm praying in faith. I wonder if I'm doing this. And it just came to me so clearly. Have you presented yourself to my word? Yes, on that subject, on that subject. Now, if you want faith in that subject, you've got to present yourself to the word on that subject. You know, if you want faith for healing, you don't meditate on scriptures on financial things. I mean, there's faith in different areas. You can have strong faith for salvation, low faith for healing. You know, it just depends on what you've heard the word on. So I was worrying if I had enough faith. He says, you presented yourself to my word? Yeah. Well then, you know, did you receive my word? Yeah, I believe it. I know it's true. Well then, I take care of the growth. That was a load off my mind. I never thought about faith that way. See, what God was showing me was, if you'll present yourself to my word and you'll admit it into your heart, it will automatically grow and produce a fruit. The farmer doesn't go out there and throw the thing in the ground, fertilize it in water, and then worry about whether this seed is going to do its job or not. What in the world? What if, you know, it doesn't work? It's been working for thousands and thousands of years. It always works when you provide the right conditions to that seed. what God was showing me was, if you have presented yourself to my word and you've let it into your heart, I'll take care of the growth. Just like the farmer doesn't have to worry about it. I'll see that that produces a fruit in your heart called faith. And it can be immediate. It doesn't have to take. Now that's one thing different about you go out in a field and you plant seed. In a week or two, you're going to see a little thing come up, and then you see a little bit more and a little bit more. Faith can be immediately generated for the thing you need. Right now, if you receive it in a good heart, you know, you don't have to wait a long time. Now, the manifestation of what you're praying for might take a little while, but it doesn't take long to get the faith you need. You understand what I'm saying? This can be an immediate growth. So you hear the word. It's like this little diagram. I've got the first five steps into receiving what we desire from God. Then the power is present in that seed. You let the seed into your heart. Now that's the first part that we really, first we have to present ourselves to the word, okay? That's understood. But then if you do that, that seed is present. All you need to do now is let it in your heart, and it will produce faith. And what's the next thing? You need to use we need to use our faith. We're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. But once you got the faith, you've done the real heavy lifting, okay? All right, now, this diagram brings up an old question. Is it proper or okay to pray for faith? You know, I've always heard no, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I always said that. People have asked me, can you pray for faith? I say no, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But why?
I looked it up one time. I don't remember what it was. I was struggling with something, and the disciples asked, I'm pretty sure it's asking in Jesus, you know.
Lord, increase our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he said, went to the mustard seed thing.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, then you can't. So it kind of went back to the whole, you know, you just have to get into the word.
But why can't you pray for faith? I mean, if God will give anything that we desire, if we just believe or receive it, why can't we pray for faith? I came down the other day trotting downstairs when God told me this and spoke to my heart. Oh, I said, Marianne, do you know why we can't pray for faith? And she says, yeah. I thought, right. And I says, why? She says, because it takes faith to pray for faith. I said, that's right. It took me hours to get that. But see, the thing is, if we have to believe we receive when we pray, and we're praying for faith, we obviously don't have it. So how can we believe we see when we pray for something that we need to pray if we don't have it?
I think I must have been wanting faith on a certain thing. And if you go back to the word and look up, you know, those things pertaining to that, scripture pertaining to those, that specific, whatever it was, I don't remember.
Right.
So.
Look up the scriptures, right. Mm-hmm. But I think, if I need faith for healing, can I pray for faith for healing? Won't work. You can. It's like the English teachers used to say, you can, but you may not. Did you ever have them say that to you?
Yes.
You're able. She says, can means able. May means are you permitted to. You're able to do it. Sure, anybody's able to do it, but you're not permitted to. Because why? It takes faith in the beginning, before you pray. If you're praying for faith, you got the cart before the horse, because you have to believe you receive when you pray. And if you haven't got the faith to believe you receive, if you haven't got the faith already, you can't believe you receive when you pray. So it's a never-ending circle. You'll never get there. Okay. At any rate, it really, you won't. That's why the Bible never tells us to pray for faith. Now, there's some things you can pray for that you don't have that you need. It's okay to pray for boldness, for example, because the disciples prayed for boldness. You read Acts, they prayed for boldness. Lord, give us boldness to preach the word. And some things it's okay. But faith is something that we don't pray for it. We present ourselves to the word. We receive it into our heart. The faith grows, and we use it. That's why, if you remember year or so ago, we were doing the series on healing. Remember, we were talking about the fact we were going up these stair steps. Do you remember that? To get to the point we could believe we receive when we pray. Because everybody wants to start there. They get sick, or they get into financial difficulty, they say, let's pray. A lot of times, they're praying before they've got the faith for the thing they need to be praying for. Some people. And so they're wasting their time. And then they wait, and they wait, and they pray again. And that's why, you know, and they get in this mishmash of praying over and over and over and over again. If they would just wait, receive the word into their heart on the subject, the thing that they need, get that faith in their heart, and then pray. Now you can believe when you pray that you receive, and then you shall have it. And God always answers prayer that way. But so many times people say, well, let's pray. But maybe a high percentage of the time, people aren't ready to pray yet. There's no faith there yet, so we're just wasting our time. But there is a way to get faith. That's the neat thing about, I want to get across in this lesson here tonight. This written word is our faith producer. And that's one thing, one of the main reasons God provided this word is to produce the faith that we need. See, wouldn't it be a mean God if he said, you need faith to get anything, and then he would not give us a means to get the faith? But God did. It's just like the love. You need to love one another. Now I'm going to show you how to get the love. If you receive my Son as your Savior, I'll put that love in your heart. You can do it. Now you need faith to believe when you pray. But I'm going to show you how to get the faith. I'm going to give you something that is so precious, it's eternally true, and anything I say in there, I will honor. All my promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. A lot of people call them exceeding great precious promises because of that. But I want you to know all of them are yes. And all I'm requiring of you is to get familiar with what's in there. Present yourself to that. Receive it in your heart because it is my word. It's eternal truth. I can't lie. All my scriptures inspired by me. I'll honor it. I'll back it up. Just receive it in your heart. And then when you pray, what are you going to be praying according to? If you got the truth, if your faith is coming from the word, you're going to always be praying in accordance with his will, which is his word. See how it all fits together? Some people are always praying, if it be, Lord, if it be thy will, then do this. Heal so-and-so. See, there's many reasons why that prayer isn't going to be answered unless God, in his grace, just decides because they're new Christians and they can't be expected to know anymore, he's going to answer that prayer because they should know, you know, that they need faith. And if they need faith in that area, they need to find out what his word has to say about it. Then they can pray according to his will. That's why, you know, if you go back to 1 James chapter 5, I'm not really following the outline as close as I meant to, but it's all right. We prayed to God, and he's helping us out here. 1 John chapter 5, I should say. He says this interesting statement in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what's the next words? According to his will. And that's where half the Christians cash it in right there. Well, okay. That's where we got to add, if it be thy will. Because how do we know what his will is? If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he heareth whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. That's the rest of this verse. Okay, so that all sounds good news to most Christians, except for one thing. We got to ask according to his will. Well, that's not hard when you know what his will is. Anyway, what I'm saying is, if you know what someone's will already is, there's no doubt. But see, so many Christians get there and go, oh, if we know what his will is, but they think it's some sort of flighty thing, that we have to know what his instantaneous will is changing all the time. And it might be my will to heal Chuck, but not Eunice. It might be my will to, you know, bless Marianne financially, but not Seth. I mean, they kind of think God's kind of fickle. With some people, he wants to heal sometimes. Some people he doesn't, for some reason we can't possibly figure out. But God says, all my promises for all my kids are yes, if they're according to my promises. He says, I don't treat any of my kids any different than anybody else. What does he say? He says, I'm no respecter of persons. What I'll do for one, I'll do for another under the same conditions of faith. So when we get to that, if it be thy will, instead of us going, oh, Father, if it be your will, heal me. No, we should rejoice saying, Father, thank you that you said if it's according to your will, you've heard me. And if I know you've heard me, I'll have what I've asked. I know from your word that says, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. That Jesus took my infirmities, he bore my sickness. That Jesus redeemed me from the curse of sickness. I know it's your will that I am healed. Now I can pray in faith. See how it changes it all around? We never really have to pray, if it be thy will, for any prayer except something that's not covered by God's word. What would that be? Lord, if you want me to be a missionary and go to China, I'm willing. That's what Jesus really prayed in the garden. It's the only if it be thy will prayer that Jesus ever prayed. He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But if it's not your will, you know, let it happen. You know, I'll go to the cross. You know, he was saying, whatever your will is on this. If you're in the ministry and you don't know whether it's God's will for you to do this or that, but you're willing, That's okay to pray if it be your will, because that's not covered specifically in the word. And then he'll give you a rhema specific word for you on that area. But for anything covered in these principles and in the general word, when we know his will, we don't have to say, if it be thy will, because we know what his will is. If I know it's Marianne's will for us to visit our grandchildren every occasion, I don't know, honey, if it's your will, let's go see the grandkids this year sometime. I know it's her will. I don't have to ask her if it's her will. We're going occasionally. I know that ahead of time. That's in the plan. So sometimes I think these things are simple, but sometimes I think we just need to say them. So do you have any questions about what we covered? Did I get it covered tonight? What? Can you see how the Bible's our faith producer? And maybe a little differently, maybe what we need to do to receive that, how important faith is and how to get that faith fruit growing in your spirit, in your heart. That's what I hope to get across tonight. Hope I did. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us, Father, how important faith is, Father God, to receiving from you, Father. I hope this came out as clearly as you presented it to me during the week, Father. And I just thank you and praise you that you've taken the time, Father, to provide each one of us in this room with your holy, precious written word that we can have and look at and find out what your will is, Father, and then let that seed in our heart, Father, and then receive that which you've promised, Father God. Father, you said for us to attend to your words, to incline our ear unto your sayings, to let them not depart from before thine eyes, from before our eyes, to their life and to those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh, Father. Thank you, Father, for providing this holy, precious written word. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay, so here's our homework. Question one is true or false. Faith seed to receive the things promised in God's word comes through hearing God's word. True or false? It's true, isn't it? And what scripture? We all know the scripture right now. What scripture does it say is faith cometh by hearing? Does anybody remember? In case you ever have to look that up, or anybody remember? Romans 10:17. All right, next question. True or false? Now that we have God's written word, hearing God's word can also include reading God's word. True or false? And I gave you a hint of Proverbs 4:20-23. And if you don't want to answer it yet, I can quote that verse, and then you can decide whether it's true or false. You know, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. That would be the hearing. Let them not depart from before thine, what? Eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. So, could it also include hearing, also include reading God's word then? Yeah, it can. I mean, it's another way of, it's not hearing with your ear necessarily, but it's getting that word into you that would qualify for the faith cometh by hearing. Obviously, we're not going to rule out deaf people from having faith, right? So, yes, it would include that. True. The New Testament usually uses the term heart and blank interchangeably. I gave you a couple scriptures you could have looked up. Kind of gives you some hints. What would go in that blank? Heart and what's spirit. The deepest part of
spirit,
right? Our soul is what? You remember from some of our other lessons? Differs from our spirit. It's your mind, your will, and emotions. So the New Testament usually uses the term heart and spirit interchangeably. When it says heart, it means that deepest core part of you, which is your spirit. When a person refuses to allow God's blank to enter their blank is sometimes called blank, and no blank can be produced. And I gave you Mark 16:14. When a person refuses to allow God's word to enter their heart, their heart is sometimes called
hardened.
That's right. That's what 16:14 says. Jesus said, says he upbraided them for their hardness of heart because they believed not. So the heart is sometimes hardened and no blank can be produced.
See?
Faith. Good. No faith. can sprout in there, and that word seed can't get in, so it can't grow. Very good. Okay, here's another true or false question. It's easy to receive the word into my heart if I understand that most scripture has been inspired by God and that God cannot lie. That's kind of tricky, isn't it? That's false. Do you know what? I went through this quickly today and I marked it true. I tricked myself. That would be false. It's not most scripture. The Bible tells us all scripture has been inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Okay, fill in the blanks. People that pray, if it be thy will, at the end of a prayer, for something promised in God's word, are showing God, one, they have humility, or two, they are ignorant, or three, they have faith. Which one most would fit there?
Two.
They are ignorant, right? And we don't mean in a rude sense. We just simply means they're ignorant of what God's word has to say on the subject. That's all.
That's right.
So we really don't have to add, if it be thy will, to a petition-type prayer, because we've learned that what we do is we find out what God's will is. When we find out what God's will is, that puts faith in our heart, and then we're ready to pray. So we don't need to tack on that if that faith destroying, if it be thy will, unless we're praying like Jesus did in the garden, where you're praying for something that isn't in the word, and you want to fulfill God's will for your life or something. You say, Father, if it's your will, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to, if it be your will. That's okay. That's not a petition-type prayer. All right. True or false? People that pray, if it be thy will, at the end of their prayer to receive something promised in the word, have not yet received the word promised into their heart and do not yet have the faith for the thing promised. True or false?
True.
That would be true. Right. Sort of says a little different way what the previous question said. God said in Hosea 4:6 that my people blank for lack of blank. My people what?
Perish,
or some versions say are destroyed for a lack of
knowledge.
You know, can you kind of see that after we've been through some of these lessons where, boy, if you don't know what's in God's word, you're not going to be able to pray in faith. If you can't pray in faith, you're not going to receive what you want. So everything seems to start with a knowledge of what God's word is, and that's why we're studying, reasons why we study God's word, so we'll know why we're doing this and get faith. True or false? Faith is a necessary condition to receive from God. True or false?
Absolutely
true. True.
Emphatically
true. Emphatically true. Absolutely, emphatically true. Good, Steve. The love necessary to obey God's love commandment was given in the blank blank by the blank blank, which dwells within us. Was given in the what?
New birth.
New birth by the
Holy Spirit
that dwells within us. Doesn't it make sense that we can't walk in agape love unless that love is already in us? God was smart enough to put that love in us before he asked us to walk in love. Thank God for the Holy Spirit inside us. So too, the faith necessary to receive from God is given by God through his word or written word. Either one. True. That's right. The blank of blank is the thing God provided to produce the faith for the things we need. That's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Oh, well, humor me. The Word of God is the thing that God has provided. You know, I didn't realize that till a year or two ago, that God gave us this Bible primarily as a faith producer so that we could receive the things that he's promised in here. Wonderful power in this written word. All of the promises of God have the answer from God of blank and blank. Yes and amen.
That's right.
Good, honey.
Yes.
All the promises of God. Well, it's nice to know the promises of God have an answer of yes. If you pray his promises, you're going to get a yes answer. That's kind of the key to the whole thing. God's word is called blank because, like a blank, when sown, it unleashes the blank inside. God's word is called
seed.
Jesus says the seed is the word of God in the parable of the sower. Because like a seed, when sown, it unleashes the power inside. It's wonderful how God's made this whole thing to work together. The world has no idea you know, how this, what we're talking about in here today and be able to use this stuff, they'd think we're crazy. You think I'm crazy?
I have faith instead of power.
Well, it leashes, when sown, it leashes, yeah, the seed has power in it, is unleashed, and then it produces the fruit of faith. But yeah, seed would work, I mean, fruit would work there too. Is that what you had, fruit? Faith.
Faith.
Fruit of faith, yeah, that would work too, either one. If God's blank is not received in the blank, no blank can sprout. If God's
word
is not received into the
heart,
no
seed.
Faith can grow.
I say fruit every time.
Fruit can sprout?
Can sprout, yeah.
Yeah, faith is the fruit. Remember Galatians 5:22? Now the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. Faith is one of the fruits. Is it proper to pray for faith, yes or no?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not.
I think that's been discussed a lot of times.
In here or just in general in the world?
No.
In churches and stuff?
In general.
Well, you're right.
That's a good...
It's really not proper to pray for faith. Because we need faith for the thing we're praying for when?
When we ask.
Yeah, before we pray. We need faith before we pray. So if you're caught in a wicked circle here, if you're trying to pray for faith, because if you're trying to pray for faith, it means you don't have faith, and if you don't have faith, you can't pray for faith. Kind of a...
Catch-22.
Yeah, catch-22. So, you know, really praying for faith is a kind of a lost cause there, because you need faith to pray for faith, and if you don't have it, you're not going to get it.
And then God says, he didn't say, pray for it, he said, I told you how it came.
Exactly.
He told you so, why?
Exactly. If he tells you how it comes, and it doesn't include praying for it, then don't pray for it. That's another reason. Because faith comes, he's worked it all out. So faith comes by hearing his word. And it's not mysterious, because how does faith come when Steve hears Sydney's word? Because he knows Sydney, and he knows that she tells the truth.
That's right.
And so faith comes if she says, I'm going to meet you for lunch, Steve, I'll meet you for lunch at so-and-so at a certain time. He has a degree of faith that he's going to get in his car, he's going to act on that, he's going to drive to that restaurant, and he's going to sit there. And if she's 15 minutes late, he's going to be mad, too.
Yeah, he is.
So she'll be there.
But
see, that's what faith really is. And faith like that is the most natural thing in the world, and we'll talk about it more tonight, when you have faith is to act on that faith. You go to the restaurant, you don't sit home and say, well, you know, guess we're going to have lunch together. Praise God for that. You know, you have to get up and go, don't you? You have to do something. You can't just sit home and think about it. And we'll get to that later tonight. Obtaining blank is a necessary step we take blank to receiving the exceeding great and precious blank in God's word into our lives. Obtaining
faith
is a necessary step we take prior to receiving the exceeding great and precious promises in God's word into our lives. The word seed sprouts in the soft blank of a blank heart, producing a fruit called blank. The word seed sprouts in the soft soil of a, of what? Willing?
Receptive.
Both of those are okay. Producing a fruit called faith. That's how faith comes. True or false? You can't love someone from your heart with agape love unless love is already in your heart. True or false? That's why the world can't love with this kind of love. That's why we got wars and all these other kinds of things. They are incapable because they don't have the lover inside. So they just really can't. Agape love is a term that only came on the scene when Jesus came on the scene. It had never been seen by the world before, really. And so you can't love one with that kind of love unless that lover, who is agape love, remember God is love, it's already in your heart. The way to get this type of love in your heart is to be, and I think Karen said it earlier, or maybe it was Eunice, is to be what?
To get saved and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Be saved. And then the Holy Spirit comes with his love into your heart. Romans 5:5. Okay.
Or to accept it by faith.
Accept the love by faith?
Yeah, that's what...
Oh, that's how it gets in there in the first place, isn't it? For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, the gift of God. And that's absolutely true. Okay, well, that completes homework for lesson 105.